lagi. Mula kau dapat kami ulami. Buruk kaya kapak
skin. Oh my god, sweetie, stop with that thumb. Can you show Whitney that thumb? Please show her the thumb.
No, no, no,
if it's still a thumb, show her the thumb.
Of all the body parts, the thumb is the one I want to see the least.
Please look at this thumb.
Why? Let me see.
I just chew it and it's like fucking everything's fucked up. That's all. She's seen
first
my thumb.
That's not a thumb.
sorry.
That is a radish.
Five, go. Go.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Welcome to the podcast. You guys, I'm the captain.
Yes, sir.
Your leader. I am your deity.
Oh,
ooh, that's a fancy one. Mm-hmm. And welcome to another episode of Tiger Belly. God bless you. Take care. Enjoy Memorials and Memorial Day. Both. They're mm-hmm. two different things. Mm-hmm. Memorial and Memorial Days are two different things. And we have our band of outcasts here. We've got the pinkish dick in fucking Hollywood, George Kimmel. Just translucent and veiny.
Mm-hmm.
Just doing his thing.
Mm-hmm.
We've got his better looking cousin over there, right? Bryce, right? Like if I was gay, boom, first.
Yum, yum.
And then kill myself and then do you.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I would be dead before I fuck that guy.
Oh, wow.
All right? Okay. I don't care how horny I am, okay? You're ugly, all right? But you're a nice guy and that's why you're here.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
We've got, what's your name?
Gabriel.
We got Gilbert. I remember.
Gilbert. Yes, hello.
Galan.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got my beautiful princess.
Wow.
We got Kalila Kuhn here. And she's from the southeast islands of Palapong.
I love that place.
Yeah, it's a beautiful island. And we've got a very special guest, guys. You guys, there's a lot of people that I'm afraid of to ask to do my podcast because I'm afraid of the rejection. But I had to throw out, I had to throw out a little line toward this woman because, I'm friends with her, but she's also very special to me. Her name is Whitney Cummings. Give her a round of applause, everybody. Whitney Cummings is here. God bless you. Take care.
Memorial.
Wait, you can talk now, Whitney.
I didn't. I heard no complimentary intro.
Yeah. Now, Whitney had her own television program called Whitney on.
It's been canceled.
I know.
Please stop bringing that up. Everybody, stop putting that in my intro. It makes me relive the trauma over and over again. It's like, did everyone hear that it got canceled?
But 2 years it was on, correct?
Well, yeah, it was on for two. Yeah.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
all right,
you're
but
right,
then
you're
that's not the only thing.
You're right.
Right, you created a show called Two Broke Girls.
It's canceled.
Yeah, but after 5 years, 6 years?
6 years, how dare you?
Yeah.
Do you Google your guests before they come on?
He does not.
I just wing it. I wing it, okay?
I really wish you had told me that this was video. I'm wearing, I look like I'm in a cult. I'm dressed in a KKK cape.
Yeah.
I just put on like a white t-shirt.
It looks like a pillowcase.
It really does. Yeah. I look like an art teacher from Santa Fe.
Are you trying today or no?
Is this trying?
Yeah.
I tried with my face, but not with my outfit.
Your face looks great, by the
way. That's very kind.
And I said that in the elevator, correct?
Thank you. You did say that.
Well, I just want to throw that out there.
It was the way you say compliments. You say them like insults, so it takes a second to understand what you're doing.
Yeah,
you're like,
yeah.
You look great today. And you're like, your delivery does not match the content.
No, but I looked over, like, I don't really look at you.
Bobby, how long have I known you?
15 years.
Bobby,
yeah, yeah.
Never made eye contact.
Yeah.
I
will look at her through my like periff.
That's it?
And I'll go, I think that's Whitney. And then I won't aloft.
We've traveled together.
We've traveled together.
We've been
before.
In other, we've spent time together.
Yeah.
I see his like the top of his eyes over a Red Bull.
That's so true. Hey, before we get to that, here's a message from one of our favorite sponsors.
Everybody, Brooke Linen for your skin. Everyone, listen up. Papa Lee, Kalila, we use Brooke Linen sheets for our bed because it is the best sheets imaginable in the market. I love it so much. You spend, here's a fact, 30% of your life in bed?
33%.
33% of your life in bed. I just rounded it off.
Facts.
The facts. Okay. Tell them about it, Gil.
Guys, also, Brooklyn Sheets was named winner of best of online bedding category by Good Housekeeping, so you know they're legit. For Brooklyn and Sheets, they are the most comfortable sheets we've ever slept on. Brooklinen.com has an exclusive offer just for Tiger Belly listeners. Get $20 off.
Oh, that's a big deal.
And free shipping when you use the promo code TigerBelly at Brooklinen.com. Brooklinen is so confident, they offer a risk-free 60-night satisfaction guarantee and a lifetime warranty on all their sheets and comforters. The only way to get $20 off and free shipping is to use the promo code TigerBelly at Brooklinen.com. That's BROOKLINEN.com. Promo
Brooklinen
code TigerBelly.
For your skin. Before I met Kalila, and I was on a date, and it was not going well. We're at the Grove.
It's not going well. What was it, the Grove?
Well, West
where were
movie
you,
or
where were you at the American Girl place?
Yeah, yeah.
That's why it wasn't going well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we
I
were at that.
I cannot picture you on a date.
Was that that Barnes & Noble?
I can't save my. And you've been on them. Have you ever been on a date?
They've never felt like a date. It always felt
like an ambush.
Sort of.
Like, it feels like you. No, it feels like
you.
It feels like you.
Well, I've dated you, bitch.
I know, but we never. It never felt romantic. It always felt.
No, it feels like you're with a Make-A-Wish kid. Taking him for a walk.
Feeding him.
Yeah, well, don't attack me.
Sorry.
Yeah, yeah. I was telling a lovely story. So I'm with this girl. It's not going well. We're at the bookstore. What's that? Barnes & Noble, whatever that
Barnes
is, right?
Barnes & Noble, yeah.
It was during Christmas. Mm-hmm. I remember the holidays.
You were
Christmas
dating girls
Street.
That can read. That's good news.
Yeah.
Bookstore.
And I just, in the magazine section, and then Chris looks up, and I see Chris, and I don't really know. I've never really talked to him at that time before. Mm-hmm. And he goes, "Hey, Merry Christmas." And he walks up to me, gives me a hug, and then he points at the girl and he says, "This guy's the shit." And he walks away and he hooked it. So when people with that kind of power helps the little man out, it really just makes me feel, it's storybook stuff.
Do you not think you're going to get a blowjob without that compliment?
No. Yeah, I needed it. And you know what? It's better. Also, it's a better.
No,
it's a better,
you didn't.
I think you would have got a blowjob no matter
stop
what.
The myth that guys need blowjobs, like there's no other way for cum to come out of your body.
Whitney.
You're like, without it, what would happen if you didn't get
I'll
the blowjob that day?
It causes anger.
Jerk off.
Discomfort.
Okay, jerk off.
But do you know how jerking off, coming, right? And getting a blowjob coming are two different ball games.
Depends on what the blowjob is and where who it's from.
No.
It's true.
Get a doll.
What?
Get a doll.
A sex doll.
But there's a any of the guys in the room defend me? Blowjobs are better than fucking jerking off?
Just psychologically, it feels better.
It's an ego thing.
Yeah.
It's like, I still got it.
Oh,
it's like
you think
a
it's
feeling,
a power thing?
It's like
I'm a man.
Loved.
I just did that to you.
Yeah, it's like feeling like attractive or something.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Wanted or whatever.
Yeah. I like squirting it in their face.
Oh, fantastic.
It's a good image.
No, you know. Do you
know? Happy Memorial Day.
I would not be able to do this if I were you. Does she want to? I don't think this is consensual, whatever's happening.
Yeah.
She doesn't. This isn't. Let's move
Kyla,
on.
All right,
let's move on.
Let's get back
Kyla.
To my career.
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
What do you think? Y'all angry?
I would
angry
care.
About?
To be very clear, I would care if I
really?
Were you. Oh, yeah. I would be fucking out of here. This equipment would be in shambles.
Boxes.
Shrapnel. The puppy would be dead.
I apologize.
Yeah, I would not be able to.
I apologize.
I have okay. We don't speak of anything before me rule.
Really?
Yeah.
What about it bothers you? Is it like if he's forcing the stories on you or if he, what if you, you're, are you ever curious?
I feel very strongly that your boyfriend is not your girlfriend and that as my boyfriend's girlfriend, I'm not your homie. Like, don't ever talk to me like you talk to your homies. And which is actually, I struggle a lot with a lot of my friendships with comedians actually, where I have to go, you guys can't talk like this around me because it fucks me up and it makes me think that all men are monsters.
Right.
Like like in the hallway at the Comedy Store when guys start talking like, I murdered that shit. I'm like, nope.
Yeah.
I'm trying. I'm still going to try to do this.
I totally get what you're saying. Yeah. I think that I had a massive collection of male friends prior to my relationship with Bobby,
yeah,
that my assumption of men was just really bad. So I was I was not trusting of Same. Him at all. So our first year together was sort of a disaster.
Yeah.
Because,
well, I mean,
immediately I injected into the relationship yeah. everything else that I had heard from all my male friends
totally.
Who I just, you know, always just the homie rule, you know, it's you just are the recipient of all these horrible stories.
Yeah, 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 yeah. And yeah. it's also, it's like, it's fine that you did all those things and right. I just don't need to hear about them in a way that you're degrading women and stuff.
Right.
I talk with my girlfriend in degrading ways about guys that we've slept. yeah. Sure, but I'm not gonna say that around my guy.
I'm so sorry.
We're all participating in the facade that we're special to each other.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would like to somehow stay in that fantasy, yeah. that yeah. magical thinking that
yeah.
there's a modicum of like sacred energy
yeah.
Left in relationships. But I also know myself and I'm obsessive and I'm an addict, so I'll think about it and I'll punish him for it.
I think you're right though. I think also the problem with speaking so freely about all your sexual escapades in the past sort
yeah.
of like dilutes that fantasy so much so that I think that we eventually have issues sexually where
yeah.
it feels like we're so desensitized to each other's
that's
stories
right,
like
that's
I
right.
can't outdo the three girls that blew him, you know what I mean? I can't blow quite that hard on his dick, like he's had just an array of all that, like I can't compete with that.
Yeah, so, but he loves you,
right?
So you
but
can,
I'm just saying
but,
the stories
right
I'll never. When he tells these stories, it's always in such a grandiose fashion.
But let me ask you a question. I don't think that when, is this what this podcast is?
No, yeah. we,
okay.
This is, I love, this
so
is great. I love whatever is happening
think
right
when
now.
A guy, when you're blowing a guy, he's going, ah. 6 years ago in Cancun, it was bad. Like, I think it's our fabrication that they're comparing us to. Like, they're not thinking about any girl they've ever been with
in
while you're fucking them. Yeah,
in
right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
if you lie to me. Lie to me. If that is not the case, all the guys are like, yeah, totally.
I have a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
yeah, like, I don't think, like, I recently got into it with my guy about, like, some exes and stuff, and he's like, I don't think about that. Like, we think about their exes way more than they do.
I think,
you know, but it's also, like, when you love, it'd be weird not to. Like,
yeah.
if I wasn't jealous of your ex, you should be worried. That means I don't feel anything for you.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm gonna enforce this new rule.
Be
Thank
jealous.
You, Whitney.
Hit me up anytime.
Also, I have to be more aware of what I'm saying.
Because he'll pull out boxes of pictures. Look at this hooker.
Yeah, I have to be more aware.
Like
I don't think that's.
I'm sweating. I don't know why.
Let me ask you something.
Why am I sweating?
What do you want to get out of that exchange when you do that?
I don't know. I mean, it.
Let's go deep.
I'm just curious.
It's like that with anybody. Is I'm always just I just want a reaction, regardless of what it is, mm-hmm. because I am.
Give me some adrenaline.
Yeah, but right.
Like I want to, because to me that's just like, hey, I'm bored. Want to fight?
Yeah.
Like that's what that.
Oh my god, my girlfriend did the same thing to me.
That's what I'm like. I'm sorry. Do you just want to get in a fight? Like I'm just give me a minute. Let me finish this. But I think that. You know, I know that animals do this and kids do this is we try to test our boundaries mm-hmm. and when
yeah.
we try to test how far we can push people and maybe you're subconsciously like testing like how much
yes.
do you love me, how much can I scare you away
push,
and you're gonna
yeah.
still stay because
yeah.
there is like a self-saboteur element to that.
God.
But you are right though, there are moments where I really strongly feel like I'm done being the cool girl. I'm done being this all accepting,
no one
non-jealous.
Gives you a check. No one writes a check for that. You
yeah.
don't get a trophy, you don't get a car, you don't get a house. All you get is like white knuckle resentment.
Yeah.
Wow.
But I feel like because like for instance his ex, he always talks about being jealous and just being very inflexible.
I don't know, you have had an ex.
Me?
How do you
Bobby?
Before?
Really? Yeah. You've never met my girlfriends before?
No.
Oh yeah.
No.
But it's what I love the most.
I don't. Yeah, you're the first girl I've ever acknowledged existed.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I like this
yeah,
one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I try not to meet comics girlfriends.
Yeah.
It's just
oh.
like, it's like fostering a puppy.
Yeah.
You get attached
right.
and then you have to give it back. And
yeah.
it's like, you run into them at Rite Aid and you're like, sorry.
Right.
I tried. I fought for you.
But there was a thing that when I bring like women on the road, right?
Yeah.
And I do talk about, you know what I mean?
Comics, you mean?
Like female, yeah. I like to bring female comics on the road,
yeah.
just because
I went on the road with you.
Yeah,
before.
You have before, and it's just a good, you know, combination. I think with
dynamic.
My act, a dynamic, right?
Yeah.
And but I'm still not. I should have more of a to realize what I'm saying, even in front of female comics, because they are women, right? But I treat them like guys, and I feel like because I have the power position that they have to just take, you know?
Yeah, like, I don't think it's tricky. The kind of female that becomes a comic as one of them, no offense to any of us, but, like, boundaries are not our, like, strong suit, you know? Like, to do what we do, we sit in a bar all night with a bunch of guys and wait to go on and to talk about our sex lives. I mean, boundaries don't occur to us often, or we grew up in a home without a ton of boundaries, but it's like, I do think it would be hard for someone to go, like, hey, do you mind not saying that around me? I'm just really working on my paradigm of the world, and this is, this is compromising. I mean, I did real. I sort of, like, after a while at the Comedy Store, I was, and, like, all my guy friends, I was, and hearing, like, it was like Dove and it was all our guy, you know, Ahmed, and, like, it was all these guys, and I was, like, at a very sort of embryonic stage in my sort of development of, like, how I saw men, and I was just like, oh, I can never trust a man because of the shit that I hear at the Comedy Store till 2 in the morning.
Yeah, but does it make you feel, I'm going to ask this question, and maybe it's rocky, but the thing is, I view you as I do Dove and Chris, you know what I mean? Like, and just in terms of, like,
Whitney just
respect, in terms of respect, and in terms of funny, in terms of being a legitimate, like, that's comedy entity, and I 100%, there's no difference between if I see you or even, like, a Burke Kreischer or a Tom Segura or whatever I might run
and
into.
And I take pride in that. Like, I take pride. Like, I think there's a difference between, like, cool. As long as you're being authentic with cool girl, I think it's okay. As long as you're not hurting yourself, I think for me, it's just knowing when to dip out. When guys start saying, like, I crush that shit, or, like, that girl is busted, I'm like, ugh. Like, I just don't want to hear that.
God, I say that all the time. Why do I do that?
Those are things that I definitely don't take from him. Anytime that he ever makes a comment or critiques another woman's physical appearance, that's always where I draw the line.
Yeah.
It's just like, look, and it's also just, it's your line. Like, I have lines that are, I think, a little tighter than even that. Like, I'm just very, like, I don't want to hear it. It makes me feel unsafe. I'm really working on, like, changing sort of the way that I view relationships and men in general, because I have a lot of, like, tapes that I have to re-record for, and stories I have to rewrite from childhood, and it just sometimes feels like a setback for me. But some women may not be healing from that. Some people might have had dads that fucking nailed it, you know. I just didn't, you know. So I'm, like, in, like, a rebuilding phase, and so it's just, like, not super healthy for me.
Wow.
But I think it also is kind of healthy for people to say to you, like, hey, like, restrain of pen and tongue, like, because we overshare. That's our thing.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, and I think that's what I'm doing in my relationship now, of, like, some things just aren't my business, and maybe sharing that is just going to cause more damage than it's going to, it's not going to bring us closer
there
together.
There is such a thing as over communicating. And I see a lot of my friends do this, where they always try to play, like, it's just, I'm just trying to, like, express myself. I'm like, girl, like, you need to just hit the brakes. Sometimes
make a
you
YouTube
might be
video.
Saying too much.
Yeah.
You know, and you
write
might,
a blog.
Yeah, sometimes you can beat a subject to death, and sometimes you're not getting anything productive out of it.
No.
Sometimes it's okay to just step back and say, hey, you know what? Like, there's no point in oversharing or talking about this so much. Like,
It's also, it's like, you know, I have this therapist I've been working on for a long time, and she specializes in, like, PTSD and trauma and stuff. And there's things she won't let me talk about. Like, I remember I went through a really bad breakup, and, like, every day I just wanted to, like, talk about it and talk about it, because I was, like, trying to, like sort of hit that equilibrium of adrenaline and dopamine and serotonin and all the shit, that, and the self-righteousness of, like, he fucking did this and this, and I just want to fucking talk about him. And she's like, okay, 28 days no talking about him to nobody, because it's a way to victimize yourself and get attention, and it's just like a bad, it's that muscle getting too strong, I think, is just kind of dangerous.
But you're also reliving, all those same hormones are at play, all that same adrenaline, it's still very present, and so sometimes you just need to desensitize from that whole experience and just kind of keep it away.
And so, then when we tell us, every time we tell a story, we embellish it more and more based on what people respond to. So fucking 2 months later, you're telling the same story and it's not even true anymore. It's basically fiction. I'm like,
oh,
I'm just so full of shit. Just
I learned so much. I mean, my mind's
Matrix
blown,
over here.
But, you know,
my goal in life is just to not be full of shit in general. And sometimes when you tell a story too much, it's like, am I doing this trying to impress this person? Am I trying to make them like me? I think it's just figuring out what's your motive for telling the story. That's why I was just like, why are you telling her about the prostitute? Like, you, but it's fair. It's like, if you have shame, because I think a big part of, like, what we do, like, as comics is, like, release shame. So, like, when we tell someone, hey, I fucked up, like, if you're okay with it, then I don't have to feel that shame anymore. I don't have to carry it around. Maybe it's you just trying to release shame.
What he's trying to do, I think I understand what he's trying to do, and because I understand it, and I don't ever take it as if he's trying to incite some type of jealousy. He's never trying to do that. I think he just needs a place to dump his experiences and all of his life stories.
Yeah.
And I'm just the person who's okay hearing that. I never
maybe
take it as
he's
trying to.
Maybe he should become a performer. where you get to do that for a living.
So someone can write me that check? Yeah.
On the road?
If only he had a place like where he could tell his stories and people would listen.
Yeah. Is it weird to say that I don't think I have shame?
Or are you just not aware of it?
I don't know if I'm aware of it. There's nothing really that I look back in my life where I can just intellectually say that I have shame about that.
In fact, I think you're proud of a lot of the
Should have more shame.
You should have you think more I should shame. Have more
shame. No, I'm joking. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I was just trying to figure out what...
Like the other day, like when your niece, where she's staying with us, and I can tell about it. So I pick my nose. over there, right?
She's in here.
Yeah, and she's in here. Yeah. And I'm in there in the kitchen, and I look at it, and I just, I don't know why, but I stick it in my mouth.
We all do. Yeah. You're just a fucking monkey.
And then I looked up, and she's in the living room looking at me.
She made eye contact?
She made eye contact. And I was like this, and I went, hi. And she goes, hi. And then she went back in the room, and I sat there in the kitchen, I go, did she see me eat a booger? And I can't live the rest of my life knowing that that's in her head.
So you did feel shame?
No.
So I killed her.
No, I didn't kill her. I just walked up to her and I said, did you see me eat a booger? And she goes, no.
She took on your shame.
Yeah, she did.
Oh, wow.
And then I thought, oh, I shouldn't have brought that up. But I don't know if I was shameful. I just wanted to let her know that I was okay with her seeing me eat a booger.
Well, I think is different. That, I think, seems like I think comics especially, like our brains are very like, we need to be seen exactly how we are. We don't like lies or misunderstandings. And you didn't know if she saw you. And we don't do well in that gray area.
Whoa.
You know what I mean? Yeah. We have to know where everybody stands all the time.
Wow.
You know?
Yeah.
I think slightly, that's like shame adjacent. That's more like the truth always needs to be on the table.
Mm. There's got to be a show where you're doing this with comedians.
Really?
Yeah. Hey.
Psychoanalyzing
and all that stuff. I mean, it's amazing.
Yes.
Really?
Yeah, because I'm going to tell you something that you out of all the people that I know, and this is real.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. This is fucking real. Uh-oh. There's a couple of incidences where I'll behave in a certain way, especially at a comedy club, and no one will correct my behavior or call, but she has.
Calls you out.
The one thing, I'm going to ask you a question. What is the one thing that used to bother you about me at the club?
When you would talk about how badly you were about to bomb?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Or after I got off and I'd go, I didn't do well, and I did. Mm-hmm. And one day she just looks at me and goes, I'm done with that. What the fuck are you doing? All right? I mean, you obviously did well, and then you're telling us, and then beforehand you're saying all you're nervous, but you're not. What the fuck is that? And then I was consciously now aware of that trait that I have, and so I don't do it anymore.
Is there such a thing as like performance dysmorphia?
Yes, there is. Well, here's what I'll say about that. I felt like I watched it for so long and I had no judgment about it because we all have our things and we all have our crutches and we all have our, like, because you're also so funny and that, and we also, we want everyone to like us. And if you're the funniest, you have to be like, oh, that was awful. Like, like we have to make ourselves smaller to make other people comfortable and minimize ourselves so the other comics are, like, the comics now at the store, we're all, like, it's a little different than it was back then, I feel like, you know? It's like you were killing so hard and I think, like, coming off, you want to make sure everyone was okay. But I just felt like you needed permission to stop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you just needed someone to say, like, that's not serving you.
Mm-hmm. And it
actually makes other people feel weird because, like, if you just ate shit, then I really ate shit. You know what I mean? Because if you come off stage and you kill and you go, oh, that was awful, it's like, everyone's like, well, then it makes, like, other people feel weird.
It's, oh, God.
Contaminates.
But I stopped doing it because of you, so thank you.
Well, no, I think it's you just needed someone to be like, oh.
I did, and you were the one.
That
you
was
did it.
It was like an old behavior that served you like ages ago when you were eating shit, but you aren't anymore. You
but
like
that's why I'm kind of scared of her.
No.
I am. There is a thing where I feel like, and I'm going to just, because this, we're honest, we're being honest right now, where I see you at the club, like the other day when you texted me to do your show.
Reprehensible.
All right. So she texts me and she goes, hey, do you want to do my show at Largo? And I never returned her phone call, a text back.
You did not text me back.
Do you know why?
Why?
Because number one, I was just scared to.
Why?
What?
Because I think there is, I understand years. That. I understand that. But I think there is, like, I'm going to say this out loud. Patton Oswalt just direct messaged me on Twitter about doing a show at Largo, and I never responded to him either. And I think it's because I view certain people so high in my head that I just can't even, you know what I mean?
Communicate
in that way, you know?
We drove to the Schaumburg Improv together.
I know, that was
a great weekend. That's different.
I love you and we're friends. That's all I'm saying. I'm just saying that I don't know why, like with Eric Griffin, I respect him.
That was very convincing.
I respect him.
Do it again for Eric.
Yeah, I respect him. But for some reason, he's not built up in my head as this thing because I don't know why. There's certain guys, people that I'm with where I'm like, oh, I can just like fart on this person. Right? And there's nothing. There's no consequences. Mm. And then there's some people like Bill Burr, too.
Yeah.
Is another one where I have to say to myself, just say hi in my head.
Just be cool.
Just be cool.
Yeah.
What's up, dude? Do a pound. Pound.
Yeah.
And go, oh, cool. Anyway, bye.
I can't believe it all goes on your head.
It does.
It's exhausting.
Wow.
And then some people, it's like,
I do it afterwards. I go in like a fucking Joe's, hi, and then I get in my car and I'm like, what did you just do? That was fucking ridiculous. You didn't even say hi to that person. You're fucking, like, I don't do it in the moment. It's like I have aftermath later.
There's a question I wanted to ask you. Uh-oh. And what? Go. The question is this, okay?
What?
Do you feel like you made it in the business?
No.
And that's the craziest thing I've ever heard all day today.
He's gonna get angry.
Because I'm gonna tell you this right now.
What?
You fucking did.
Whoa.
Here's the thing. It's like.
You fucking did.
I was thinking about this the other day. I don't think about this a lot, but it's tricky, man. It's like it might just be social media because it used to be like if you made it in any way, it was like, oh, okay. But you see what everyone else is doing. Everyone else's hustle now,
right.
And the fucking the measuring tools just changed, mm-hmm. just now. So it was like, oh, you have shows, you made shows, you booked jobs, you're an actor. But how many followers do you have? And it was like, no, that's new. That's not what we're measuring by.
Yeah.
That's not talent based. I mean, it's for some people, The Rock or whatever the fuck. And but it's like, what do you mean? Like, I don't have time to make videos every day. I'm doing the thing that people cared about 5 years ago.
Right.
Like, it's tricky. It's like the rules keep changing. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard.
Well, they're two different games. I'm talking about the game of actual show business.
Yeah.
That's a different thing.
Yeah, maybe. The internet is a different thing.
It's a different thing.
But then all of a sudden it felt like the internet mattered more than anything.
Right.
Yeah, but the internet is like everyone.
Yeah.
That's the public.
Yeah.
Right? And so when I see somebody gain all their fame and money from the public, to me it's like, yeah, but you didn't go into the arena with the actual gladiators.
Mm-hmm. That's true. That's actually right.
You test your skills amongst the best people that are doing it. And that's what I want to do.
That's right. And look,
Look at George, because he's from the internet and he's turning red.
Making studios.
Look at him. He's turning angry. Well, what's up, dude? You have to defend that? You're from that world, man.
No, but here's what I'll say. Some people, and I think it's important.
Know that.
It's like musicians that don't like Katie. The lead singer of Wilco, is he dead?
No, I don't think so.
No, okay.
No, Jeff Tweedy.
Yeah, that'd be sad.
Jeff Tweedy.
Oh, good.
Yeah. He's alive.
It's a... Like, he's like, oh, fucking Katy Perry song is number one again. It's like, you know, there's a market for things that aren't the best, and that's okay.
I see what you're saying.
You know?
Yeah.
So it's like, sometimes you have to just acquiesce to that and just be like, you know what? There's going to be certain people that...
It's like the Velvet Underground's first album, right? Mm-hmm. The Banana album. That was not... that's the first one, right? With Nico. It sold, when it came out, 500 copies.
Wow.
Mm. Okay? So 500 copies, and what, like... Jefferson Airplane or these other bands were selling millions of copies, mm-hmm. right? But at the end of the day, that album did more for music mm-hmm. than any other album. It was so influential. Like, people started bands based on that album. R.E.M., U2, all these mm-hmm. bands, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I'm sure Lou Reed and John Cale and the people that are on the Velvet Underground, like Maureen Tucker, the drummer, worked at Walmart.
I didn't know you knew so much about music.
For 20 years. Yeah.
So much.
20 years, really? She worked at a Walmart, right? Mm-hmm. And she was in the most influential band of all of music, right? Yeah. And it's like, I'm sure she walked around in Walmart going, God damn, I got to stock these breads and I'm in the Velvet Underground. But at the end of the day, it's
you
like.
You mean this bread?
What?
No. These breads.
At Walmart. They're bread there.
Yeah. Do they have breads there?
This is the way I talk. I'm uneducated.
I'm worried you don't surround yourself with people that call you on your shit.
I keep saying breads. Should we say something?
Whitney's just letting him
Whitney,
talk.
Whitney, don't do that. All right. whatever you're doing right now, don't do that. Because if you do that, I can't talk.
Here's what I'll say. I learned this recently because speaking of bread, literally segue. I used to say it's the best thing since life's bread.
life's bread
for 10 years, for at least 10 years. And finally, a friend of mine was like, "Are you saying life's bread?" And I was like, "Yeah, it's the best thing." And she's like, "That's not it." And I was "What?"
I have so many of those because Mandela I grew up in the Philippines.
Oh,
and
well, so you're just
like,
yeah.
Things like, you know, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, what does he say, you'll go down in history?
Yeah.
I thought it always said yogel down in history, and I thought a yogel was a reindeer song that he
sure,
did.
Sure, yogel.
Yeah, like, oh, okay, yogel. And when someone heard me sing it out loud, they're like, what are you saying? Or like in Soup Plantation.
By the way, I also love that you were singing it out loud so much.
Christmas is a big Filipino thing. We start in September.
Oh, cool.
My mom thought, Let It Be, right, the Beatles song, right? Let It Be. Was medochi, right?
Oh,
and
no.
Medochi means medochi. Anchovy. In Korean, it's like, why would the fucking Beatles write a song about anchovies and say it in Korean?
I used to say, let's play it by year.
Yeah.
Which actually makes sense because I do only hang out like once a year. Like, call me in a year and we'll hang out. But I like wrote it and I was like, yeah, let's play it by year. And a friend of mine, no joke, like a year and a half later, was like, how are you? And I was like, good. And I was like, how have you been? I think it was Sarah Tiana. I was like, well, you said let's hang out in a year. And I was like, no, I think that's an expression. She's like, no, it's not. It's important that we call each other out on our shit. But no, I think that to your point about the performance dysmorphia, yes, there is. Like, I actually have like a form of like misophonia where I don't hear laughs as loud as they are because when I'm on stage, I
have the same thing.
I do think you have it. I always think I'm bombing, and then when I record myself, it's so loud, and I'm like, oh, I didn't hear any of that. I think though that's a good thing because it makes us good comics because we always.
I have always said it's better to have that than the opposite of
where
that,
you think you're
which
killing
is I killed
and
you're bombing.
I always think
Bobby,
he
has
Bobby
over there.
Are you doing stand up?
No.
How many times have you done stand up?
I host an open mic once a week for the last couple of years.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
He's terrible.
That's not true.
We have proof.
How do you know?
Because I did Irvine Improv. I did Irvine Improv, and I go, you want to open? He goes, yeah, I want to open. He went. We all were there.
Yeah. Right.
He was bombing so bad. On tape, you could
hear Irvine?
Me. Yeah.
Irvine's not easy.
It's okay.
It's
not Ontario. Ontario.
It's called. I love
Ontario.
I like Ontario.
It's called the Dunning-Kruger effect. When you think you're actually doing better than you are.
Oh, got it.
It's the opposite of the dysmorphia.
Well, I think I have in my career. I also have no idea how I'm perceived, which is might be a good thing. But I have no idea how I'm perceived. And I think that when you're in our side, it's like people look at you and they're like, he's just on TV show after TV show. They don't know about the 300 rejections we get a year.
Oh my God.
And that's all we think
about.
A
year and a week.
That's not true. we get rejected constantly. Like from things that if you get rejected from something now, it's not, you can't even do the job to begin with because you're already in first position on something. So it's like, you know, so I think we have an amplified idea of our failures and everybody has an amplified idea of our successes. So
it's so funny because it's like there was a time when you know Whitney, you know, you had your own show, and then, you know, everyone at the store was on a show, and I had nothing, and I was just looking around going, oh, I want to feel like they're feeling, like I always feel like they're living this life. Right, that's unobtainable right now. Because
which is so funny, because then when comics get on shows, they're like, oh, I just want to be doing stand-up.
Yeah, and then now that I'm on a show, I feel like I haven't changed. It doesn't feel different. No. So I guess that's a message to people that nothing fixes you, and no matter what you want in life.
Well, then it's just you want more and more and more,
exactly.
Right? So it's
Kate
Blanchett loses jobs to, you know, fucking Sandra Bullock, you know, and she's like, oh, I didn't get that. You know, it's like it never stops.
Yeah.
So on some level, you have to get
But here's a fact that you did make it.
That's really nice.
Yeah, you did.
You think that.
And
that's very nice. But it's also, I think, now with Twitter.
And deflect.
What?
You talk so fast.
I talk so fast?
I love it.
Do I talk really fast?
Yeah, no, but
really,
you're just
so articulate.
You're
though.
So articulate that, like,
really?
Yeah.
My boyfriend says that
arguing with me.
Who's your boyfriend?
Is like being in court.
Who's your boyfriend?
I'm not telling you.
Your boyfriend?
You know. You probably know him.
Is George Clooney?
Is he
no.
comic?
Huh? No.
Actor?
Oh, no.
Actor?
No. He's
producer?
Not in the business. Not in the business.
Not in the business?
Advertising.
I've met him before?
No. Maybe. No. I don't
know. Okay.
I don't know. Is there a more boring, as the podcast listener, was there anything more boring than what we just said?
No.
Yes. No. What? Huh? No, but he was like arguing with you. It's so stressful. He was like, it's like being in court.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't imagine arguing with you.
Yeah, I'm pretty good at
but
it.
But also,
you would make a fantastic lawyer.
You
though.
Would be.
I would. My dad was a lawyer. He's very good at it. And growing up in my home, you had to defend yourself constantly. You get good at it. If your last name is Cummings, you have
Where
to.
Where did you grow up?
D.C.
You did.
I'm from D.C.
And your brothers.
We know nothing about each other.
I mean, where am I from?
Come on, get it, Whitney.
I mean,
somewhere in California. What's it?
Pilot what's season? Were you born at the Comedy Store?
Best friends.
You just live at the Comedy Store.
No, but what city am I from? Do you know?
I feel like I do. San Francisco.
No. That's the most racist thing I've ever fucking heard in my fucking life. Yeah.
No, I'm just guessing because you're like
Shanghai.
Yeah. Right. Vietnam.
Yeah. I'm from San Diego.
Okay, I did. Fuck, I actually did know that.
No, you didn't. You would have said it if you knew.
You know what? You're right. Because I know you went to the La Jolla Comedy Store. Like now, it's all happening.
Now it's happening.
I was unconscious until I was 30.
Right.
But so we used to go down to La Jolla Comedy Store, and you were from there.
I know your sister also.
Oh.
I love her.
You know her?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Oh.
You didn't know that I knew your sister?
No.
Oh. She's still in LA, right?
I have a sister and a half brother. What else?
What, you don't want to talk about your sister?
I don't talk. Yeah, I don't.
You don't talk about family.
It's not that.
Okay.
Yeah. All of a sudden, I'm not talking so fast.
Wow.
Yeah. Is she talking slower?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
How often do you guys experience paparazzi?
Never.
Never?
I don't get it a lot. I'm trying to think. Like, I get it. I live in the valley. So it's like there's a certain places you can go. I do at the airport sometimes or when I land in a city.
Yeah.
Because I know that Delta tells people and stuff like that.
Oh, they do?
Yeah. But I think that it's tricky. It's like people are paparazzi now. It's like, you know, you'll just be at a restaurant and someone will just be holding up a thing or, you know, that doesn't bother me. It's more when people come up to you and either give you career advice or start insulting you because they don't want you to get like a big head. Like, I have people all the time come up to me and they're just like, I know who you are.
Oh, wow.
I'm like, cool.
I don't know
or
who you are.
Yeah. They want to hurt you or I get this all the time. Guys come up to me and they'll be like, look, I have no idea who you are. My girlfriend loves you. Can we just get a photo? And I'm like, why not? Or just like, be like, can we get it? Like, just why do you need to hurt my feelings?
Like, yeah.
They have to. They're just like, oh, I don't get it. But like, I get a lot of career advice. People feel very strongly that I should have been Wonder Woman.
Move over, Gal Gadot.
They don't understand
I get
why.
That with Wolverine.
No, but they
Jackman, Bobby Lee.
No, but they think that I like didn't show up. Like they're angry. Oh, they're like, God. Why weren't you Wonder Woman? Like as if I just forgot to like go to the set.
Yeah.
You know, like it's like, and it's weird because I always think that's actually like, you know, I would never have gotten that job. Like you're just trying to make me be like, because I'm not pretty enough. Like, you know, it's like when people over compliment you as a way to actually insult you. Because I know you don't think that, but like, thank you for being so nice. But now I just, it's like my mom. It's like, I finally like drew a boundary with her that she wasn't allowed to like talk about my career in any way. And then she did say something that was like Golden Globes. And she's like, why weren't you nominated for you deserve a Golden Globe.
And
then you have to be like, well, I wasn't nominated because my show got canceled. And then I have to hurt myself by telling you why I didn't live up to your compliment.
My dad says that I'm not working hard enough, so he goes, why don't you call studio and say you're available? Like get movies.
They just thought there's a sign that was like Bobby Lee.
Right.
Call
like,
here.
Like, hey, Paramount, I want to be Spider-Man or whatever, you know? My dad doesn't know how it works.
Yeah.
Call them.
You
know, it's like, you don't call people.
You know what is so interesting that I'm realizing? I know nothing about your like political beliefs. Do you talk about them ever?
We did a podcast when the election votes were being tallied.
Mm-hmm.
A somber one, yeah.
It was the worst podcast we ever recorded.
Yeah, it's like a bummer.
Yeah.
Interesting. So what's going to happen with you two? This has been like 3 or 4 years now.
Five years?
Yeah.
What's happening? You live here?
Yeah, we live together.
What's the game
plan?
What do you mean?
Just keep collecting animals until
the day we die. Do you guys want kids?
We aborted two.
No, you haven't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Have you?
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. you just didn't want them?
In the early
the
on.
First time.
Why was... are you not on birth control?
I don't know what you're doing right now.
Oh, sorry.
What are you doing right now? No, let me ask you something. What are you doing right now?
This is interesting.
I'm sorry. Yeah, see?
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
Okay, go ahead. Take over, babe.
Come throw some grenades and then head back home.
Yeah, we've been together for 5 years, okay?
So angry.
Sorry. I'm walking into something.
No, you're not walking into anything. We're fucking open. Go ahead.
Landmine.
Yeah.
His favorite subject is telling people he's aborted children. I don't know why, but the first time.
Why do you think? Because I think it's your Tourette's. But it's the comic thing. I think this is what it is. It's not a shame thing. I think it's like because we're justice warriors committed to the truth. I realize that's like aggrandizing us, but like I'm the same way. Like if I'm late to something and I'm like, there's traffic. I'll take a picture of the traffic and text it to the person because I'm so worried people think that I'm lying all the time, and I'm so committed to like telling the truth all the time.
Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you what it is. I'll be honest with you.
What?
Just look at me right now, okay?
Okay.
When after Mad TV, okay, I was forced to do the road a lot because I couldn't get a job, right? So I was in New York, and I had to do press, and I had to do Open Anthony for the first time. This is when Greg Giraldo and Patrice, they were all alive. You know, they were alive.
Yeah.
And I did that radio show, and as soon as I walked in, they ripped me apart so hard that I just got up and left.
What did they rip you about?
About my body, you know what I mean? Like, you know, they were just ripping my physical appearance, everything, you know? And I just went, oh shit, I can't do this, and I left. The next year, I went back, and I realized I had to do Opie and Anthony again. But this time, I just blurted out every fucking...
I'm going to get it to it before you
yes,
get to it.
Yes, and it worked
can
for
Can I tell
me.
You, it's like, I was just going like, so what's it do? He's like, we had two abortions. I'm like, before... I'm telling you, there's nothing you can get me on because I already beat you to the punch.
Right.
I'm going to insult myself or
I don't know
before
if
you can.
But when you just said that, I don't know if that's the healthiest way to even go about... You know, living life.
We all have your ways of surviving, though. You know,
it's also like a way of control, which I'm not in a negative way.
Yeah,
it's a way of controlling the conversation and like being innocent. Like, I'm not trying to hide anything.
But it worked for me, and that's why I can do all the podcasts and radio shows, and I'm successful at it now because I'm aware of that's what my thing is.
Mm-hmm.
And so, because before I was just, hey, just bring up this thing, I can do a bit, right?
Yeah.
And now it's more like I'm going to be honest. And just say everything.
And I also think, like, if I'm just going to be, like, super straight, like, my biggest fear in life is being boring. I mean, that is, like, what I'm the most insecure about when I'm anywhere. I'm always like, am I being boring? Yeah. Like, you know, like, that's just, and it was so hard for me to get attention as a kid that I had to be, like, so, you know, so I just have that sort of ticking clock of, like, you're bombing all the time.
Yeah.
So maybe it's that, too. Like, whenever I always, like, front load. Like, when someone's like, how are you? I'm like, the meds aren't mixing. Like,
relax.
Like, the blood just froze my eggs. Like, it's just like, whoa. I will come, I will come out swinging so hard just be the most interesting person.
Yeah.
Like, here's all my secrets.
Right. I also think that there's, when you say it, you have the sense of ownership.
That's right.
And you feel a little less vulnerable or blackmailable.
That's great. I love that. Yeah. Exactly. Like, you can't, I owned it. You have nothing on me.
Exactly. No one can hold anything you say over your head.
Do you have, because I don't really see you, you know, because you see some female comedians and they hang out with other, never really seen you with other female comedians. Yeah. Who do you hang
Handler?
With?
For
years? I mean, that's right. Yeah, I don't really know.
Sarah Tiana's my buddy.
I love her, yeah.
Yeah, I don't, like, it's tricky. Like, I don't, like, hang a ton.
Yeah.
I'm working on that.
Yeah.
It's just hard because it's, like, working during the day and doing stand-up at night just leaves so little room. But I have, like, a couple friends who are sort of in the business.
Can I tell you another thing? Just brought up another thing that you confronted me on.
Oh, my God, what?
This is great. This is a great one.
I'm making our
This is a great one. So I was at Chelsea.
Mm-hmm.
And some comedian had given me a writer's packet, right? And this comedian goes, hey, I need a writing job. Can you give this to the producers of Chelsea Lately? And I go,
wait, someone had asked you.
Yeah. So I have a packet now.
Yeah.
Right? With his writing. I'm there and I'm sitting there with, I forgot, I was with Brad or whoever. And you run into the room and you go, you're going to try to bring that piece of shit into our family. You know who it was? Writing packet.
I remember that.
Do you remember that?
Yes.
And I literally remember going, oh my God, what did I do? because I remember what he was like. It all came back. I didn't think about it at the time when he was giving me the packet.
Yeah.
But when I was like, hey, my friend, and you walked in the room, like, what the fuck? In my head, I'm like, oh, it's over for me. I try to bring the devil into the fucking...
Well, I think that's like, when you're successful, you want to help other people.
That's what it was, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think that I've learned, it's taken me a long time to understand what help actually is. When you're giving someone an opportunity they don't deserve, that's not helping them.
Yeah.
That's actually just hurting everybody else. And then and you're fucking yourself. Because everyone's going, well, Bobby recommended him, and then it's on you.
I have
stopped recommending people for jobs because it always bites me in the ass every fucking time.
Yeah, it's like... It's even when, like, people go, well, how come you weren't in this movie? You know, your friend's producing or whatever. It's like, but I don't want to, you know what I mean? I get why.
I would never want someone to hire me because they felt like they had to.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
Embarrassing. Yeah, mm-hmm. Like, if you're, like, that's just so, because everybody knows except you, and then you're the fucking dickhead that thinks that you're there on merit.
Yeah.
And it's humiliating, you know? But I also, it's like, you know, I had a really hard time firing people in the beginning. Like, I was like, no, I'll just talk to, I was, like, sitting in meetings being like, do I need to create a safer space for you? Like, trying to, like, get people, like, I'm just sort of like, do you want to just come in later? Maybe we should move the hours so that you're, like, trying to accommodate everybody's fucking sickness. And like, you know, and then someone explained to me, like a mentor in the business, that it was like, when you fire someone, it's the best thing you can do for them because they will learn so much. And you're just enabling.
Really?
It's like giving money to a drug addict or whatever. It's like you're just helping them suck faster and get a worse reputation.
Right.
Just fucking fire someone. You're helping them.
Wow.
I don't think coddling anyone is ever good for
them. It doesn't. Yeah. And like, and I mean, it's in him in particular. I mean, by the way, I also am like, made like a lovely amends to me, and like it was great. Very healing, and I was like, thank you. It was like really nice and meaningful. I mean, I get why I was kind of triggering when I first came into the comedy store. Like, I don't blame people for being shitty to me. I'm kind of like, oh, that's fair.
No.
Yeah.
No. You were always nice.
Yeah, I was nice.
I always loved you. I always loved Chelsea too.
Yeah, she's...
No, you guys were always legitimate. And then, like, I remember there was a group of guys there. I'm not going to name names, but...
It was a different time.
It was a different time, but they were bullies, dude.
Really? Yeah.
They were like...
Here's what
I'll say. Walk up to women and go, you're not fun. Women aren't funny.
Because here's the reason I think I have some Stockholm syndrome about it.
Yeah.
I was hazed so hard, but I am so grateful because nothing after that could fucking hurt. Like, no audition, no pitch, no producer, no getting fired from a pilot. Like, I developed such a tough shield of armor from that place that it's like your worst nightmare happens. You have a bunch of comics saying you're not funny, you suck, you're ugly, I wouldn't fuck you, like shit like that. And then it's like, you want me to go do a network test? Like, great.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like nothing could hurt me after that.
Yeah, I mean, so I'm like
weirdly
I'm weirdly
grateful. What, of testing?
Yeah, I hate
it. Do you do beta blockers?
But that's another thing I was going to bring up.
I do beta blockers.
I think you introduced him to beta blockers.
Really?
Yeah, so I had... a couple of nightmare auditions.
Really?
And I said,
very
shy. I was telling you about it. And you go, you should have beta blockers.
Oh, really? I brought up beta blockers?
Yeah, and I went to the doctor and I got beta blockers. This is years ago.
Yeah.
And
I remember this.
I take them whenever I'm like shooting.
Yeah.
And it helps 100%.
It's a game changer.
It's a it really
even
is.
Even just
for
knowing
me.
You have them is a game changer.
Yeah, it's a game
changer. Placebo effect of it.
Yeah, there's something about it. Like, but back to the what, like, get bringing people, like, I used to bring people in for auditions for Mad TV.
Yeah.
And this is one comic.
Were you such a dick?
No, I was just like, this guy's, you know, I'm trying to help people out.
Why?
And this is the last time I helped anybody because this guy.
But it helps them and hurts the 200 people.
I know, but I was sitting there in the audition. He walked in and I go and I looked at him and this is his script and he was doing this.
Oh.
You know what I mean? And I'm sitting there going, oh my God,
it's
this is
part of the
terrible.
Bit. It's part of the
This is terrible. I'm never going to do this again. Yeah, he just wasn't ready.
I had a weird, it's so interesting. Like, do you ever find that sometimes you're nervous and sometimes you're not? I had the most nervous I've ever been in an audition. This is so weird. I was like a kid and I was like auditioning for like hosting jobs. Like, I was doing hosting when I first came out to LA. I must have been like 23. It was like right after Punk'd. And I was so numb and unconscious in my 20s that I would like go into tests and be like, what's up, bitches? Like, I would never get nervous.
Yeah, yeah.
And just like eat shit and be like, nailed it. Like, I was just like had way too much confidence.
Yeah.
And then one time I went into, I'm only saying this because now I know how much you know about music. I went into an audition and Henry Rollins was there.
Wow.
And I started convulsing.
I was like I couldn't speak.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I also didn't have the wherewithal or the consciousness to be able to go, like, I should go outside and fucking regroup. Like, I didn't know how to, like, if I ever go into a meeting or like a screen test or anything, I go in for like 2 minutes and I'm like, you know what? I need to go outside and come back. Like, I have so many demands.
You've done that. You do that.
Yes,
yeah, yeah.
Because you have to claim your space.
Yeah.
Do you have lots of people that, performers that listen to this podcast?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like that, the most amazing actress that her name is Lucy Punch. She came in one time.
I know her.
Lucy
Punch.
She's kind of been in every.
Yeah,
like,
she's
great. When I moved to LA, she was the one to beat. If she was auditioning, just don't go.
Yeah.
She's excellent. And she was in the movie I made, and she's just transcendent. And she came in for an audition for this show I did on HBO. And she came in and like, she was kind of like nervous and was like we had a friend in common. Like, her name's Lizzie Kaplan. And I was like, oh, you know Lizzie? And she was like, yeah, anyway. Like, she kind of ignored it. And I was like trying to bond with her. And it was like, it was very weird.
Yeah.
And she did it and she was great, but we just didn't vibe. And I just felt very odd about the whole thing. And she left. And I was like, that's weird. I guess we don't hire her. An hour later, we get a phone call from her agent. It's like, hey, Lucy's still in the parking lot and wants to come back and do that again. Is that okay? Whoa. And I was like, okay, like the balls, right? Like,
yeah,
I would never think to do it again.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I would never think to go, you know, can I take that again and like own my space like that?
Yeah.
I'm always like, I'm a piece of shit and I'm so sorry,
wow,
I just wasted your time.
Wow,
and then she came back in and she just goes, hey, I'm in negotiating to test for another pilot. The writer's office is across the hall. I got nervous and freaked out that he was going to hear that I was in here. So I've just been distracted. Can I audition again? I was like,
wow.
Okay.
Wow.
I was so impressed by her ability to own her space and her environment.
Yeah, yeah.
And I felt so much trust in her. I was not upset. I was not mad. I was not put out. I was like, thank you for doing that. I just learned so much from you.
Yeah.
Killed it, hired her, put her in my movie,
writing
something new with her. Like, I.
Wow.
Isn't that weird that we walk in as if we're guests in their
space? I don't know how to do that yet.
They need us. You know?
Yeah, I gotta learn that.
And it's also, even if you don't get the job, you at least get to have a modicum of fucking dignity. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know?
But now with the Henry Wallace thing, did you ever get it down or no? It
was no!
You chewed it.
I'm not even a fan of his anymore. It ruined all everything.
Yeah.
I'm from D.C. Henry Rollins is like a deity for like.
Yeah, we're getting him for this in a couple weeks.
It was so bad.
I want to bring it up.
He will never remember. It was the weirdest. And like, you know, sometimes we go to.
Yeah.
I went into an audition once, like Will Smith was in there, and I was like, "What's up?" Like,
yeah.
It was so weird, and it was a hosting job. It was like, "Hey, welcome to music on the radio." Like, I also had to like look in the camera. I almost puked. Like, I was like, if I puke in front of Henry Rollins, but yeah, you just never know who's gonna like.
I had one
get you.
Amy Poehler.
Uh-oh.
I walk in.
She's
know
Amy Poehler.
And she does something. She goes, I thought I was just going to do the audition.
Yeah.
But she goes, hey, oh my God, it's Bobby.
Ugh.
And she introduces me to the whole room.
Of course. She's being lovely.
Being nice.
Ugh.
But while
it's
she's doing it now, it's all gone.
I don't do small talk. Here's what I'll say.
I don't know why they do that.
Here's the biggest problem. Yeah. I don't do small talk. I let them know fucking right away because this is going to sound narcissistic, but like we're funny and like you're going to come in and start killing with just your small talk about like, well, I don't know where to park. You know, whatever. And they're going to go, what's it like to be on Mad TV? And you tell this hilarious story. Farted in this girl's mouth or whatever.
Yeah. You know that
all
one.
Of those stories.
And
then you read the material and it's bombing. And they're like, he was so funny before he started reading the material
because you're
always going to be funnier than the material.
But I bombed so bad that I took a bottle of water and walking from the audition to my car, I banged it against my head, this bottle of water.
Yeah, it's the worst.
And
feeling.
I was bleeding.
What is the
down
feeling
my face.
When you walk out of an audition, it's bad? It's like you want to fucking die.
Ugh. It's worse than that for me.
I want to disappear. The
embarrassment, but it's like I'm embarrassing my brand. I'm embarrassing my family. Because when you're doing stand up, I know how funny I am.
And you can course correct.
Right.
The best thing you can do when you stroke bombs is you go like, oh, that didn't do. Fuck you guys. You didn't get that.
Yeah,
like,
They love it. Yeah. But when I'm in there and I have really no control and I'm nervous and they don't like me and it's not going well, I can't explain to you how fucking shitty it feels. I get devastated. Ask her.
Mm-hmm.
I get devastated.
It's devastating. It really is irrationally.
PTSD.
That is right. It's irrationally devastating. I think for me, like,
I performed as a child for my parents to get their love. Uh-huh. So I think that I turned five again, and it is like, you do think it's life or death. Mm-hmm. Like, if I don't get the love of these people, I won't eat. Yeah. I don't exist. Because that's the thing as a kid, if your parents don't give you attention, you don't exist, right? And then, so it's just remembering, like, I'm a fucking adult. This is a business transaction.
But it's not about getting the job. It's about, listen, the last couple of months, I've had some good auditions, and I didn't get the job.
Right.
If I can walk out of there and just show them my ability.
Yeah.
And I don't get the job, I get it.
Yeah.
It's when I can't show them what I can do. Like, that's what fucks me up.
Frustrating.
Yeah.
I have, like, lots of rules around it because I now know, like, where, how I shine and how I don't. I can't, I'm not coming to Santa Monica. I'm not driving.
No auditions in Santa Monica.
If I'm crossing Bundy, I'm eating shit. I just, yeah. I know that about myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Not afternoon. Between 10 and noon. That's where I shine. After that, I'm tired. I'm dizzy. Yeah. I'm menstruating. I'm shiny. Like, you've seen me. I get shinier as the day goes on. I get hungry. Like 10 to noon, that's pretty much it.
Wow.
Within 3 miles of my home. Or else I'll just put myself on tape. That's the other thing, is like getting your power back. I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to put myself on tape because I need a couple takes to get this.
Yes.
Just say I'll put myself on tape.
It's also different for women too. Men, you'll never understand this. Like, if you look at the cycle scope, there are certain times, depending on where your hormones are or how high your hormones are flowing, you feel like a hermit. You don't feel like socializing. You don't feel, even if you're naturally like extroverted, all of that's gone.
Yep.
Where you just kind of want to bury yourself in a hole. And that happens to me even though I feel like I'm pretty good otherwise socializing with people for a whole week. Out of a month, I cannot even formulate a sentence.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
My thoughts are not in order and I just don't want to see other people.
Yeah. You know? Totally. And it's also like, that's another thing you just like nailed. It's like, I need to know who's going to be in the room. I don't want any surprises. I also, you know, and this is going to come off like, I don't want to come off like I'm hanging by a thread and like made of glass, but it's like, you do go to an audition, you see like 9 models, you see like 4, it just spins. We're comics, we're sensitive, like everything spins.
God, I can't, I'm having a panic attack, even the
sweating. Sweating.
Like, I'm just saying, like, you run into like the girls that got every job in your 20s.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's just like, you're walking into kind of a landmine, you know? Yeah. And I'm so empathic that I like take, and then everyone else is nervous, so you're taking on, they're in the hallway going, acting. like, oh my God. Like, like, you know, so it's just a lot of energy.
Yeah.
It's a lot of.
What I have to do is I have to, like, if there's like 6 people in like the office lobby, I walk away.
Yeah.
I am outside around a corner.
Yeah.
Right. I kind of know, like, look at the door to see who I'm after. And when that person or comes out, I go back into the room.
Yeah.
But I cannot be in there when people go, hey man, I saw you perform Saturday. You killed it. You know, they start talking to you.
Especially if you're an empath like you are, because you're just absorbing everybody's energy and they're throwing it all
in. And they're actors, so they're injured people. And you're just taking on their childhood pain and their epigenetic imprinting and their shit. And like, they hate you and you hate them. And it's just like, oh God, everyone I've been avoiding for the last 15 years, I have to sit in a fucking room with them. You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's just like, I don't remember lines and I don't even want to do this. Let's be honest. I don't even want to do this. Like, I don't even like, it's just like, you get into like, it turns into like an existential crisis.
Yeah. It's so, we're so similar in that way.
I'm like, there's no way this is going to go.
Yeah,
like, let me just go fucking tell some dick jokes for free.
What are we doing time-wise?
Such a, like,
circle
jerk.
We're over an hour already?
Yeah. That's amazing. God.
Yeah.
All right, you want to do the unhelpful advice?
Well, quick question for you both. Did you say when you guys first met and what was the experience?
Oh, wow.
Because I'm curious. When did you guys actually first see each other?
I don't think I remember.
I don't remember either. She was just a part of my life.
No, but here's the thing.
Wow, Bobby. Great answer.
That was so touching.
She's always been a part of my life.
Because I was just talking to Kevin Christie about this when I was like, do you remember like when we became, it was just, we, for some reason, one day, I just went to the other side of the hallway.
Right.
It was like, I was always on one side of the hallway, like looking at my notes and like looking at you guys. And then one day I was just on the other side.
Yeah.
At least with Kevin.
Yeah. I brought Kevin to the store, by the way.
Really? I feel like you, when I first came, you were a bright spot when I first came into the comedy. Because I remember you gave me very good advice. Because I would like go, I would like have all my copious notes and they were all written out and I was like writing in margins to go do 3 minutes.
Yeah.
In the, I would go Sundays and Mondays and wait in line at the open mic. Oh my God, and I remember being like,
And you were like, I'm gonna bomb. And we're both about to go on. Like, we're both gonna eat. We're terrible. And then we both have the same inner monologue. And then one day you said, you were just like, it doesn't, your first 3 years, none of this matters. All you need to do is get comfortable on stage.
Yeah, I'd say that. Yeah.
And it gave me such a permission to stop worrying about the jokes.
Yeah.
Because I was so like, what if I just say this like this? And you were just like, it doesn't matter.
Well,
like,
you can tell when a comic, right, they're fully comfortable on stage. Mm-hmm. Because even if they're bombing, as an audience member or somebody watching, you feel at ease.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Yeah,
that's so interesting.
And that's where you have to get to.
Yeah.
So in the beginning, I don't have a 20-minute set yet. You know, it's like, you're not going to be able to get that to work, even if it's the best writing imaginable.
Yes. Mm. Yes. You know? 100%. I mean, it's you said that to me, and I remember you were the first person who was like helpful to me in any way and not trying to, like, Ari was stealing my backpack and David Taylor. Like people, like I would go on stage and people would make fake announcements while I was on stage. They'd be like, there's a red Civic blocking the driveway.
What?
And it was like, they don't do that. They don't make it. And I'd be like, does anyone have a red Civic? Like, and then they'd come and be like, there's a blue Civic. And I'd be like, is anyone, like, it was just, I would be getting heckled by comics, you know? And so you were like one of the first, I mean, probably the first person.
Why don't you have a podcast?
I don't.
You'd be so good at it.
That's so nice of you. I just, I don't know.
I'm going to say this, right? Tiger Belly, this podcast is the reason why I'm on a show. It's the reason why I have a career.
I feel like you can't not have a podcast now, but everyone has a podcast.
My audiences have tripled on the road just automatically.
Where
you have
go?
To what? You have to do one.
But everyone's got one.
It doesn't matter because the thing is that a lot of people do stand up too. Am I funnier than them? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you're a lethal combo.
You're
not
lethal.
Funny. You're not just funny, but you're intellectual.
You're so smart.
Oh, that is so
You would kill it.
So I think there's some, you know.
You would kill it, and you could get guests that I can't get too. I mean, you have that. I mean,
Will Smith.
I mean, you can get guests that I can't get and that would be amazing. But I mean, just think about it.
Is it week? Do you do this weekly?
Just weekly.
We do it on Monday nights, weekly.
It's just an hour out of the week.
We'll set it up for you.
I don't know why I have a block about it.
Here's another thing. Is
it's
that
shame. I'm ashamed.
We're with All Things Comedy. Al Madrigal and Bill Burr run it.
I just
Segura,
did Bill Kreischer. Burr Kreischer is his cooking show.
Yes,
on that?
That's on it. Yeah. Segura, Ari, we're all a part of this umbrella, right? So it's family.
Yeah,
and it's been the best thing I've done.
I have debilitating, crippling perfectionism.
Yeah.
So I remember one time Tim Ferriss, asked me to do a solo podcast for him, like just in my house. Mm-hmm. And I answered questions from people on Twitter and I stopped and started.
No.
Like 40 times. I was I have crippling. I need to work on. I'm not saying I want to stay stuck to that. But
listen, in this podcast alone, there was moments where I could have been better, but...
But I don't think that's what people... I think people like
people
imperfection.
Like
nobody likes broadcasting chops.
Nobody likes anyone who... Like, nobody likes a winner.
Yeah, no, that's true.
That's why you're doing so well.
No, you're a loser,
I think that's what people like, is they come to see your comedy to see them well-polished shit, and they come to this to see you have conversations.
Yeah, they just like, you know what I mean, the chemistry and... It just helps.
You don't have
people
to be killing every minute.
No.
The lulls are totally okay.
The lulls are great. The lulls are great. So let's do the unhelpful advice.
Unhelpful advice with Bobby, Kalila, and
Whitney
Cummings.
Wow.
Oh, thank you so much.
Very good.
That's crazy.
Second City, Chicago. Go ahead.
Every time, man. Why?
That was wild.
Yeah.
What's up, guys? I'm 22 years old. Back in 2014, I was in a mosh pit at a Cannibal Corpse show and suffered a spinal cord injury. I was paralyzed from the neck down in the hospital for 7 months.
I'm never getting a podcast. This is horrible.
So depressing. Those 7 months really messed me up mentally, and I still haven't gotten over it. I have a wife and a son that I feel I can't probably provide for due to lingering disabilities I have from the spinal cord injury.
Jesus.
I did learn to walk again in 2016, but I still can't really lift my arms, so I can't work a job to provide for my family. I'm very passionate about comedy and would love to be a comedian or writer, but I live in deep Alabama where there are no opportunities in that field. My question is, how do you guys suggest I get myself into a better place mentally? And how could I possibly break into the field of comedy? You guys are the best. From Alabama.
Well, I mean, the number one thing is, I want to say this, is that it's so funny. Oh, my God. That's real.
I would say the first thing to do is read a book on brain plasticity. There's a new, in the field of neurology, there's like a sort of this new theory that is gaining a tremendous amount of scientific support, that if you imagine a part of your brain that has shut down or died in any way, stops working, another part of the brain can actually pick up the flack and you can start using it again. So it's like, if you imagine that a certain part of your body is working, one part of your brain that is not normally reserved for that motor function will take it on and learn it.
Oh, wow.
So I would learn as much about brain plasticity as you possibly can.
Oh my God.
It's an emerging... What's your answer?
Well, I wish I would have said mine first, because I should have said mine first.
You should have done it first, man.
But never mind.
No, I mean, I have had...
That brain plasticity.
Read a book.
Brain plasticity.
I did, and then write jokes about that. I mean, remember when Robert Schimmel would do jokes about his chemo?
Yeah,
and he had a whole show where he would show pictures of guys in the hazmat suits that wouldn't touch the stuff that was going in his veins, and he had this amazing joke where he's like, "You won't touch it, but it's going in my blood." It was like, it was heartbreaking, but so funny and original and incredible and specific. Mm-hmm. And none of us can do those jokes.
But the thing about the comedy in that, in the area, if he wants to do it, is that, you know, it's, you can just go to a coffee shop that, you know, and start your own night. I just believe in movements and people starting from scratch.
Yeah.
I mean, back in the 70s, like, you know, like when we went to Mitzi's Memorial, you know, I mean, what they did with the store, right, is a prime example. Oh, that's open. Let's try to rent this, you know, OR out and see if people, you know, will come. And people came.
Yeah.
Especially other comedians that had never done it before, and they started this thing, you know. So you could start it there. And secondly, I don't know. That's it. Brain plasticity. Easy.
Claude, what do you think? How to get out of that mental hurdle?
I think that he has great content already. Surviving, having a spinal injury from a mosh pit. I think that's great comedic content to talk about, right? Like, he can kind of just jump off from there.
Yeah.
And like you were saying, it's like no one else can talk about a spinal injury from a mosh pit but so him.
Specific. And it's also, I mean, I do think, like, to what you guys were saying, it's like, in order to be a comedian anymore, you don't always necessarily have to be in the club. Like, start with Instagram stories, do YouTube videos. Yeah, like, do it from wherever you are. Like, you'll find your audience eventually. You know, you don't necessarily have to go to coffee shops every night and with this fucking guy. And, you know, there's a way that now, I mean, capitalize on the fact that we're in this time where you can, you know, make videos from your house and stuff.
I want to see something dumb right now, okay? It's not.
Now?
You know what I mean?
What was all that?
I was on
stuff?
Tony Hawk's Instagram today. Mm. And he had a video up of.
Why?
What do you mean? I follow him, so I was just.
You were just on
his
page.
I was I was on his page. I was just going through all the people I follow, and Tony had a video of, it looked like a dwarf, right, skateboarding in a pool, and he was doing like tricks and whatever. But when I looked close enough, it was a man who had lost his legs, from the knees down. And he had figured out how to skateboard.
You haven't seen a lot of dwarfs in your life.
What is that? What
did you notice there were no shoes? Have you met Brad Williams? Do you think they're just...
Forget it. Forget it.
Yeah.
Forget it. But yeah, that. You want anything you want to plug?
Shows.
Movie, anything? How about the movie that you're on on iTunes?
Yeah, I made a movie that happens to have brain plasticity storyline in it.
Oh, wow.
It's called The Female Brain. I wrote a book. I don't know.
And
I have a podcast coming out.
Yeah, let us know. Let us know. Because what I would suggest to you is this, is that get a podcast, and then I would do, because you could do all the ones... Like Chris D'Elia's ones, there's so many.
You mean
people.
You go on everyone?
That's what I do. Is I promote it. I've done all of them.
This becomes a full time job.
It's not. You do it one time, and it's like, you know, it's easy. You promote it. You do it once a week.
People in your house.
Once a week. You don't have to have cameras. You can just do an audio one. Oh, God damn it, Whitney. You're going
to
fucking
like
do
you
it.
Have to
She's
do
a showrunner. She's a showrunner.
It's like there's just like, so, it's just a lot of logistics.
It's
like,
so
what the fuck
easy.
Is that? Is that a bomb?
I don't know.
Like, what is that? There's so, I can't have, there's so many cameras in here. Yeah, this is giving me a fucking nightmare.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
There's so many wires.
But I want to say this too, that you were a great, really, really great guest.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
Oh my God.
I feel amazing. Like I'm, I always no, feel like on podcasts I'm bombing.
No, it's not because I'll tell you why.
No.
It's because the, I've done podcasts where 20 minutes will go in. I go, is that it?
Oh, really?
Yeah. I've n- I rarely do I reach an hour and go, what are we, an hour? Over an hour?
Oh, good.
Yeah, so it went by really
this
quickly.
This is such a short one. When I do Rogan, it's like 4.5 hours.
Yeah,
mean,
no,
it's
we
like,
don't do that.
Yeah, a lot yeah, of them yeah, are no, long.
Yeah. But I want to thank you so much. You were great.
Thanks. It's smart to keep it tight. That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
That's good.
Not an hour's still a long time. Brain plasticity around here.
What's that?
Know?
Yeah, a lot of brain plasticity. I know. Wait, so what? Were there no more questions?
Nope,
no,
that's
you
it.
Yeah.
You one and done.
Tight show. It's not a 4-hour podcast.
Yeah. Okay, got it.
Give her a round of applause, guys.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you. When does this go out? Do you want me to?
Tonight.
Oh, it goes on tonight.
No, tomorrow.
Okay.
Tomorrow night, yeah.
We'll do a thing. Thank you, America. I don't know. Who's the demo?
We'll be right back. We are back. What a podcast. Yeah. She's amazing.
Fucking love Whitney.
She's dope.
She's the best. But also, she just always feels like such an ally to girls
oh,
and
for
women.
Sure. She like shut Bobby down.
But you know, like when you walk or sometimes when you're around certain women, you always feel like perhaps there's like this sense of, I don't know, like competition. You never feel that around her. Every time I've ever been around Whitney, she always feels like your ally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very That's much cool. like a team player.
Yeah, like she's down for the girl. She's down for that. I like that.
Puppy update.
Mm.
What do we gulp?
Sorry, you've got me these freaking pecans from South Carolina.
South Carolina.
And they're so good. And I can't
Charleston.
Stop eating them.
Charleston. Apparently you're not supposed to say they are. Charleston.
Charleston?
Charleston.
Mm.
Okay, Molly and me pecans.
Puppy update. Puppy is now 5 weeks. I've fully weaned him from the bottle, so I'm no longer playing wet nurse. He usually puppies don't go out for don't usually get adopted until they're about at least 2 months. Mm-hmm. But in this case, because he's an orphan puppy with no siblings and no mother, they're adopting him out sooner. So if you are interested in adopting Fritter, go to Mayday Rescue, MAEDAY. Rescue on Instagram and fill out an application.
Cool. Any shows for Bobby?
Bobby will be at Seattle next weekend.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
June 7th through 9th. And then the weekend after that at San Francisco Punchline.
Cool. And guys, for all classic clips and highlights from our podcast, go to youtube.com/tigerbellyclips. And a shout out to our sponsors for this podcast, Blue Apron. Check out this week's menu. Get your first 3 meals free at blueapron.com/belly. And Brooklinen. I don't know why I keep butchering that. Don't sleep on this deal. For $20 off and free shipping on the best sheets ever, use promo code TIGERBELLY at brooklinen.com. So all for Bobby's show dates, make sure you go to BobbyLeeLive.com.
Yeah.
And you can find all of Kalila's Instagram and social media at
Calamity K.
And George at
George_Kim.
And Bobby at Bobby Lee Live.
And Bryce at Gilbert's. All right, guys, have a good day. Makabaloli.